Welcome to the Voices of Legacy, where you're building your legacy every day that you're blessed to live. We are honored today to welcome back a powerful voice in church and scholarly pursuits, counselor, a visionary, Bishop Dr. Larry G. Mack. What's the G for?
G is for give me my money. You know? G is for Gene. G-N-E.
Yeah. Junior.
Yes, sir.
He's the founder of Greater Dreams Church and the author of a newly released, already impactful, book entitled Just Make It Through the Night. I think a lot of us can relate with that. Theological approach to Christian counseling. This is not just a book. It's a prophetic and practical guide to navigating the darkest seasons of one's life with faith and purpose, and hopefully healing. Dr. Mack reminds us through the words of Exodus, the 20th chapter and the 21st verse, if you have your Bibles, that Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was, and God is with us even through the darkest parts of our lives. Without further ado, my friend, my brother, and great, great man of God, Bishop Larry Mack, good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Good evening, good afternoon, good night, everything. Man, God bless you, man. Thanks for having me today. It's always a wonderful joy to be with you, man.
Amen. We thank God for that. What inspired you to write this book?
It's been something in the making for like 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. But what the main thing that inspired me is that I just love helping people get through tough times or getting through situations where they feel like there's no way out. And so that's part of my motivation. It's like I believe, you know, that I understand getting through difficult season, being optimistic and understanding how your mind work, your brain work, and teaching people how to spiral up instead of spiraling down when you get hit with the situation. Mm-hmm. That's why the poor gets poor and the rich gets richer. Yeah. Is because the rich think a certain way, the poor think a certain way. Mm-hmm. So you imagine a worst possible thing that can happen to you. But people that understand, that had been through different situations that they experience in their life, they know how to spiral up. They imagine that there's an answer out there. There's a way of escape. Mm-hmm. There's a breakthrough for me. But you got to keep looking for it and expecting it to happen. Mm-hmm. But most of us, we shut it down. Mm-hmm. And so we spiral down and imagine the worst thing to begin to happen. So yeah. I like teaching people about how to get through times like that. Mm-hmm. And I was going through one of the worst difficult times of my life. And actually, I didn't really want to live, but it taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. It taught me, number one, to stop living from the outside in. Mm-hmm. You know, stop living for public opinion. Stop living. Come to a place, you know, like Niccolo Machiavelli. He was banished, right, away from society. He had lived at one point through his fame, through his political influence, mm-hmm. his relationships and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But when he was banished alone, he began to write and shift his core to the inside. In other words, he got everything he needed from the inside of him, and he stopped allowing people, places, or things to dictate or control his emotion. And so me going through this storm, it really helped me to be to come to a place where I know who I am, I know whose I am, and then there's levels to this, you know, coming out of it. Like, for example, like Ephesians says, being strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking it has to do with anointing and power, because, you know, we believe in miracles and healing. Yeah. We experience it in our life. But really, he's really teaching us, I need you to be strong on the inside. Mm-hmm. I need you to not allow outward circumstances to affect your internal being. Mm-hmm. I need you to have power and speak and say what I tell you to say when I tell you to say it without flinching, without fear. And the only way to do that is really to come to a place where you're grounded in him. Mm-hmm. You're not grounded in people, places, or things. Some people, their center is in their emotions. Their center is in their friends. Their center is in their stuff. So when you lose your stuff, where are you? When you lose your friends, where are you? Mm-hmm. So going through the storm, reading, writing this book, helping people understand these concepts and what the storm can produce, it mm-hmm. can make you stronger. You can come out bitter or you can come out better. You know, but I'm sharing really the supernatural aspect of, you can, okay, like Niccolo Machiavelli, mm-hmm. you know, I don't believe in all his philosophies of thought and everything like that, but nonetheless, he learned how to shift it from the inside mm-hmm. and he became powerful. But what God invites us to do is do that piece, but now let your center be in me. Mm-hmm. Now that puts you into a supernatural realm. That puts you in a realm where God says, I got you. I'm empowering you. I'm going to cause you to go through storms where it seems like it's difficult to go through. We can be like David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Why were you able to do that, David? Because his strength was in the Lord, not in himself, not in people, places, things, politics. But he had to learn that.
Yeah. And outside of himself. Yeah. And I think the word is, as a man think of, so is he.
Yes.
If you think you're less than, then you'll probably live that out. And every time you said Machiavelli, I kept thinking about Tupac.
Yeah, Machiavelli, yeah. I say Machiavelli, I think about Larry Mack, last name. But anyway.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, our influences are so important. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to teach. I mean, mm-hmm. What you think you are, you're going to be that, and you're going to be more comfortable associating mm-hmm. with people that are thinking just like you. Mm-hmm. But the blessing's outside of the box, living outside of yourself. So mm-hmm. you're really teaching people to come up out of their own psychosis into the reality of what's for them, that's mm-hmm. greater than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a powerful thing. It's like, you know, just be honest with you, I didn't always think this way. Mm-hmm. I was a public success, but a private failure. At mm-hmm. one point, we had the fastest growing church in the region. Mm-hmm. We were up to 200 people in 2 years, but I had this crisis in my backyard, and I had to mm-hmm. eventually deal with it. And but it was difficult. I found out where I was. You know,
has been part of your healing being sharing your testimony?
Let me see. Oh, I got to be careful about that because I don't want to hurt people. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, other people involved,
yes.
and I believe they want to move on in their world, in their mm-hmm. life, and so on. But I share a little bit in the book. You mm-hmm. know, I don't tell everything, but I share enough.
That would benefit.
In the book, and people can relate to it. Mm-hmm. And one of my reasons why writing it is because I remember when I was counseling relationships and situations, because I have a master's in Christian counseling at that time, a doctorate in theology, but I was giving people answers and helping people with their problems, you know, and then what ended up happening was I went through it. Mm-hmm. I felt like, like Viktor Frankl, you know, international renowned Viennese psychiatrist that went into the Nazi death camp, was totally stripped emotionally, psychologically, and physically down to his bare nakedness. The thing I love about Dr. Frankl, he's not like Freud. Freud had theories and good theories, mm-hmm. but they were theories. But Freud, he went through it. So it was no longer theory. He actually used what he practiced or what he taught or what he came out of it was what he called logotherapy, mm-hmm. getting a mission or a vision for where you want your life to be. And you can overcome anyhow. But if you don't have a vision of your future, then you're going to be crushed in the midst of what you're going through now. Mm-hmm. But the thing I loved about him is now he went through it. So he don't just have sympathy, he has empathy. He doesn't mm-hmm. have theory, he has knowledge and wisdom and experience. Now he True comes understand. Out on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So when I went through my crisis, the first thing I thought is, how can anybody work? Mm-hmm. How can you go to work with this pain? But women do it all the time.
Yeah.
They function through it. So I thought about that woman right now, this morning, that got up this morning with a heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And she still had to get them kids ready for school. She still had to put the clothes on and make breakfast. And she still had to send them to the sitters or send them to school mm-hmm. and still had to go to work.
So did you actually, at least this is what I think I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you actually counsel people while you were yet still going through?
That's when it got difficult. That's when I understood the power of a pastor. Mm. Because I remember hearing someone speak and they declared, God has saved your marriage, God has delivered you from this, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it gave me hope. And I knew that be careful what you say to people because you can cause them to go down or come up. The tongue is powerful.
It is.
You know, I think the strongest muscle in the human body is not the gluteus maximus. It's not the biceps, the triceps. Mm-hmm. But the strongest muscle, it's not the heart that 3-pound muscle machine is able to pump 3,000 gallons of blood through 162,000 miles of arteries 100,000 times a day. It, mm-hmm. it keeps pumping, right? But the strongest muscle in the human body is the tongue.
Yes.
Because with the tongue, you can build people up or you can break people down. Mm-hmm. With the tongue, you can be in a in the middle of a sporting event and your team is down 30 points, but that coach gets in that locker room and with his tongue, he's able to motivate them and inspire them, and they come up from behind and win the game. With the tongue, Winston Churchill got behind the podium and he said, "This shall be our finest hour." Those words rallied those troops and we were able to have victory because the tongue is powerful. So in the midst of my storm, I found out how powerful the tongue is. And so I started using my tongue for me. You understand? Like, I start speaking life to me. You coming out of this. There's life after death. There's life after destruction. There's life after divorce. And you're going to have even a more better life. You feel me?
Yes.
But just speaking God's word and saying it over and over again until I came to a place to believe it myself. Then I found myself out of it emotionally. And now I can go to it and don't cry like I used to cry.
And then look back and maybe pull some lessons even from your own experience.
Yeah, and then help people more. Yes. Now when someone comes to me, I have a staff that counsels now, but when someone comes to me with issues and situations, I can relate better. Before, I was given answers.
Wow.
You know.
How do you counsel individuals that to recognize God's presence in seasons that seem as though he's being silent, there's no answer?
Be patient, you know. Mm-hmm. Like in a book I talked about, that God said, "I dwell in the thickness of darkness." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, you're light. How can you dwell in darkness? Mm-hmm. But God called light out of darkness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when the teacher is silent,
yes,
while we're taking a test, and so we got to realize it's only a test. Just make it through the second. If you can make it through the second, you can make it to the next 5 minutes. You can make it to the next 5 minutes. You can make it to the next hour. You can make it to the next hour. You can make it to the next day. Make it to the next day. You can make it to the next week. Make it to the next week. You just got to keep going by faith, and pretty soon things begin to loosen. Sometimes you just got to let it burn. I wish I had like a magic wand to weigh the pain away. I don't know if you've ever been through. You don't seem like you've ever been through a problem in your life.
Oh, no, that's not true.
You don't look like you ever had a heartbreak or something that made you don't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Because if you feel like you don't want to live, that means you got the wrong center.
Yeah.
And I had the wrong center. Mm-hmm. When I started making God my center, I became powerful. When I came, made him my center, I stopped being needy. I became more attractive. Mm-hmm. I became stronger in who I am in him. And then in more confidence, I call it Godfidence.
Yeah.
And so like even David, when David was going through the stuff he was going through, I think people just like read Psalms. Mm-hmm. I think 139 verse number 14, they just read it, right? David said, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." So mm-hmm. that's a statement. Oh, I'm fearful. We say that, but this is what he said. He said, "God, I'm going to give you praise." Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm awesome. Man, can you imagine the self-aggrandizing act or thought that he had to have to say, "God, I'm going to praise you because of me." You know what I'm saying? Because the other day I got out the shower. I said, "Hey, babe." I called, talking to my wife. She was upstairs. I said, "Hey, babe." She thought something was wrong. And she said, yeah, what's wrong? I said, "You need to give God some praise for me, you know, because I'm awesome, you know." But what I'm saying is we're all awesome. Mm-hmm. But David, he was forsaken. He said, "When your father and mother forsake you, I'll take you up." Mm-hmm. His brothers rejected him. He's rejected. Then he finally had somebody he loved and looked up to that was a father figure to him. And that guy tried to kill him.
Yeah.
And he only tried to please him, right?
Yeah.
And so then he's stuck again. But then in the cave of Adullam, of course, he ran to his best friend. Mm-hmm. Best friend couldn't help him. He runs to the prophet Samuel, who prophesied he'd be the next king. He couldn't help him. Then he runs to the Philistine. They couldn't help him. Then he act crazy, and then he went to the cave of Adullam. In that lonely cave by himself, he was able to get his center back. Mm-hmm. And God is his center, and he worshiped God. And that's when things begin to come back in place. Sometimes you go through lessons to get your faith off of people, places, and things to bring you to a place mm-hmm. where your faith is in God.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High
shall abide under the shadow. 1,000 may fall at your side. Yes. See, it ain't bothering you. 10,000 at your right hand and won't come nigh you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think. So I guess in words of Zig Ziglar, it's not stinking thinking that you need. You need to have a positive mindset about mm-hmm. who you are, whose you mm-hmm. are, and think outside of yourself so that you can move ahead. How does faith and professional counseling intersect, in your view? Now, this is your opinion, it's your book, especially within the African American church context.
Okay, repeat that. I have a I look at life.
Is it accepted as much.
Yeah,
as,
it was. Of course, you know, and you and I both know.
Yeah.
Growing up in an African American culture.
Yeah.
Even my mom had me; she was 14. Mm-hmm. My dad was in a military, so I never knew him. Mm-hmm. So it was just her and I. And I remember one time, this woman we were living with, because I moved like 17 different times before I left for the military at the age of 17. So this one lady we're living with, she said, "Now he needs some counseling." Like she said, "Counseling?
Talking about you, right?"
Yeah, counseling. You know, like yeah. because of the situations, mm-hmm. you know, living, moving, all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And I made good grades in school because I was afraid to get a whooping. I didn't know I was really smart till I was 17. You know, so but I made good grades because I didn't want a whooping. But then mm-hmm. my mind woke up. I think when I was in the military, mm-hmm. you know, and so that really helped me with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I just started reading it. And I started wanting mm-hmm. to know, not because I had to, because I wanted to. And so when it comes to like the counseling piece in the African American culture, it's being more accepted now than it was when we grew up. Because I'm 55, you about 38.
Just a year
older
than me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. 54. Mm-hmm. But I remember it was a horrible thing to mm-hmm. even think about, counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then need Jesus,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, then people think you're kind of like loony, you need help, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, but I think I would have been a better friend had I had counseling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like I, you know, calling my friend Dr. Sam, right? Hey man, you know, he got to hear the same song every day. You know, I'm sure he probably put the phone on mute and let it play. Yeah, for real. And then put it back down, right? But I would have been a better friend had I just been able to pay somebody and understood the mm-hmm. power of therapy.
Yeah.
And talking to someone, and then you can leave it there, and you don't have to share it with anyone.
Mm-hmm. And internalizing, that's not mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, you need people to talk to. Sometimes it does take about 2 years to talk it out with friends, you know. But people don't understand that aspect, but because there's healing in sharing.
Yes, there
is. There's healing in tears. I'll talk about the mm-hmm. power of tears. African American, well, some communities, some cultures don't allow the kids to cry. Mm-hmm. Don't you cry. You a boy. You a man. You're a man. But there's medicinal anointing. There's chemical. There's release. There's peace. There's cleansing. Mm-hmm. You feel better after you cry.
So you're saying a man is supposed to cry?
I think we should.
Those tear ducts mm-hmm. were made for something?
I think you should be careful who you cry around.
That's true. But yeah, you should let it out. You should mm-hmm. let it out. I saw my father, and I guess his testimony. When my grandfather passed away, our best assessment is he had a stroke at my grandfather's casket.
Jesus.
He never... And we were built that way. If anybody knows my family, most of the men were built, you know, you're a man. Mm-hmm. And he was never the same. To this day, he's still living.
Mm-hmm.
Never the same. From that day in 2008 to now in 2025, when we finally got the diagnosis, like 3 years later, he had like 13 spots from the strokes.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. But it's internalizing, mm-hmm. not releasing.
Mm. That's a good thought. Yeah. Internalizing, not releasing. Yeah. You know, that's why it's powerful to make God your center.
Yes.
You know, and that's the most difficult thing to do. It's a lot of soul searching. You know, it's a lot of self-examination. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to learn how to be alone and really get to know God, not out of religion, but relationship. And that's major. Like when we deal with David, he 3-day journey, he's tired, he's wore out. Mm-hmm. So when you're tired, walk in 3 days, mm-hmm. come back, and then Ziklag, where you live, mm-hmm. your men lived. Everything is burnt, and the women and children are taken. Mm-hmm. You came back to nothing. So they're weeping. They wept till they could not weep no more. Now David is dealing with an intrinsic and extrinsic crisis, mm-hmm. crisis within and crisis without. No, a lot of us deal with that, but it's difficult to deal with both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Isn't it hard to go to work, deal with war out there, and then come home, now you gotta deal with war in here. And so it's like, where's your peace gonna come at? So David was in that spot where his very men wanted to kill him. So when you're in that type of situation, what you have to do mm-hmm. is come to a place where I need help from God.
Wow.
You know, and I need, and you gotta believe that he is there. One of the 9 attributes that make up the essence of God is that he's omnipresent. I mean, he's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient, he's all knowing, he knows everything. man, it's a deep theological question that people ask. If God knows everything and he is God, why does he let bad things happen to good people? All those kind of things. But I got an answer for that, you know, but I don't think we want to discuss it, you know, right here. But it is a belief system that I do have, that you got to invite God in.
Yes.
Because he's a gentleman.
I think it's humbling. You have to humble yourself, to submit yourself to a power that's greater than you. Mm-hmm. But in that humbling comes a release.
I love how you said a power that's greater than you. That means you already are a great power.
Yes.
But you need something greater than you, because I'm hit with something, God. I need you, you know?
Yes. You've been a leader and a counselor and a pastor for a number of years, and a host on TCT Network. Still are. Mm-hmm. I think you do Ask the Pastor.
I do it on Mondays. Host that show, Ask the Pastor, a nationwide show.
Has that experience over the many years you've been there influenced any of the things that you've written?
Well, you know, man, we're able to compartmentalize a lot of the duration of those early years. Yeah. I was going through this crisis of pain, but being busy and being involved and serving and giving and doing whatever I can do to help people and getting out of myself and going out, that helped heal.
Yeah.
But we have a tendency to want to just be alone, don't bother me.
Yeah.
No, go out and help people, volunteer. I was volunteering and just helping any way I could.
Did you find yourself burying yourself somewhat in that work while you were going through?
Yeah, I did. The most difficult times for me during that season of my life, besides doing TCT, I was actually doing, you know, we have a global ministry where we have like over 200 something churches on the continent of Africa, you know, reaching Dubai and Brazil. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine preaching conferences, coming home crying in your bed all night long, getting up, doing the same thing, you know? And so, it was difficult, but I was able to compartmentalize. And when I was on the platform, the anointing, the presence of God, it sustained me, but when it begins to go away, now I'm alone with just me. And I had to deal with Larry. So some of the most difficult times was after doing a 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then a 2 p.m. service in Toledo. I would drive home, and I'll go pick up my daughter, and she was like 12, and I'll teach her how to drive. And then I remember a pastor's wife said, "Don't you make her your surrogate wife." You know what I'm saying? Like, because she was with me all the time, you know. But I think that love, that teaching moments I had with her, it helped. But then I would go to a park and cry and ask God to help, you know, you know, not knowing what to do, you know.
What role has forgiveness played in that whole process?
Forgiveness is a serious thing, and I don't think it's like a mental ascension type of thing. I think, like, okay, you know how the Bible talks about if your brother offends you, forgive him 7 times 77, right?
Yes.
So just think about that. Whatever that number is, somebody told me 490 sometimes, whatever. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, I offend you, I kept offending you. Mm-hmm. Brother, the Lord said, forgive me. The Lord said, forgive you. You're like, you're not going to hang with me no more. Right? So really what's going on there is that the offense was done, right? And as a believer, a kingdom-minded believer, mature believer, we're to bless those that curse us, do good to those that do bad to us, right? So pray for your enemies. But there was a moment, because if you go to Africa, they say, kill him, God, kill him. You know, I'm like, man, please, that's not even the scripture, but the fire come down. I was like, man, I hope I never offend you. But nonetheless, but you start thinking about what you did wrong in a situation. Like, I was in college full time. I was working full time. I was in ministry full time.
Forgive yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let it go. But you got to constantly do that. But this is the piece I want to give you. So somebody offend you, it's not like they did it that many times, but you thought about it that many times. So every time you think about it, you got to say, God, I forgive them and I want you to bless them.
Yes.
And that's hard, because you got to, but if you do it, it loosens something out of your heart. Then it goes from mental ascension down to your spirit. And now you really forgave them by your heart, from your heart, not from your head, from your heart, right? And that's difficult, to pray for your enemy like that, or pray for somebody that hurt you like that. But let me tell you, there's power in it, because then God in turn blesses you. Because unforgiveness will lock up blessing. It's a spiritual principle, whether you're saved or unsaved. Some things in the word is spiritual principles. So forgiving is a thing that will, unforgiveness will lock up understanding, lock up blessing, lock up answers that you need. That's why in Mark 11:23-24 it says, while you're praying, stand, stand forgiving.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why husband and wives, I think the reason why the enemy comes between husband and wives a lot is because if I can get them at each other in unforgiveness, I can limit their prayers. Because Peter talks about how their prayers are limited, right?
Yes.
And so that's why I think that you got to seek forgiveness. But I think if I have a natural gift, I can forgive people quickly. Mm-hmm. But I did, for the first time, I got hit with something that happened. And when I saw that person, my nerves went whack. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had no control. I said, God, I never felt this before. So that let me know I wasn't where I thought I was.
Yes.
And I needed to go pray for this person, forgive this person from my heart. That way, when I see them, there's no nervousness, there's no pain, there's no anxiety. So forgiveness is very powerful. You have to let go. You have to forgive. And it's easy to say, difficult to do.
It is.
But start turning your lips and say, God, I bless them. I pray for their family. I want them to win in life. And you release them, and something will happen on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Even old prayers you prayed will start coming to pass.
Well, forgive them, forgive yourself, and be released. And then practice it.
Over and every time the thought comes, forgive them, bless them, pray for them then. Because it's going to come. Remember, it's going to come.
Oh, yeah,
your brain is like a, what do you call
it's
it?
It's like a computer.
No, your brain is actually like a some type of pharmaceutical company, right? Because like if you do something to me that hurt me, my brain is going to make a cocktail, if you would, some type of stimulant that's going to send a message from my brain through my body. It's going to travel through the neurons, right? And through the bloodstream. Now it's there. So now I had this message called Fruit Loop. I think it, and then it loops. I feel it. So it's bad to keep rehearsing over and over what somebody did to you, because you're making that Fruit Loop stronger and stronger. Mm-hmm. So now you haven't seen them in 20 years, but you see them today. It makes the cocktail. Uh-huh. You have the emotion, cause your blood pressure to go up. It affects you physically. Mm-hmm. So that's why you got to let go and you got to forgive to get rid of that toxic cocktail that is killing you softly.
So this book is spiritual, physical, practical. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Who do you believe this book is especially written for? Who's it going to benefit, and what are you seeking to accomplish?
I think this is the kind of book, you know, like I remember when Bill Gates, I think it was like 1990, on the cover of a magazine, he said he's worth $6 billion and his vision has not been completed yet, because his vision was to have every home in the world to have Microsoft software in their computers, right?
Wow.
So what I'm saying, you're going to need this book, because one day you're going to hit a crisis in your life. If you hadn't, I remember Marcus Aurelius, he would be in war or whatever, and he'll go back and he had a table set and he'll start writing his book that was entitled Meditations, but he didn't write Meditations to be a book that was sold. He was writing to himself to make himself better. He was journaling. Mm-hmm. So he took that book and he would write about what he learned, what you should do in situations. And he said, you know what? You're either in a problem, coming out of a problem, going back into a problem. So you got to learn how to be in the middle and stay stable.
Wow. Just Make It Through the Night. It's available where?
It's on Amazon right now, soon to be on other platforms. But right now you can get it off Amazon.
Awesome.
Just Dr. Larry Mack, Just Make It Through the Night.
Well, we appreciate that great message, and we think it's going to be beneficial to many that they'll take time to actually read. We are thankful for this, but we look forward to more in the future. Did you have anything else?
Of course. Yeah. I was talking to my friend named Hodges, and so he knew I had went through a situation. Mm-hmm. It was something, and I was hurting, but I wouldn't let no one to it. But he caught me. He opened up and he was real to me. Mm-hmm. And so he was curled up in a ball in the fetal position crying. And I said, man, I just was in my kid's room.
Wow.
And he said, just make it through the night.
Wow.
So that's where the title came from.
That's amazing. I like that a lot. Yep, I think a lot of us need to just make it through the night so that we can testify to how we made it through. There's a blessing in testimony.
Joy comes in the morning.
Yeah, we're healed by the word of it. We're so thankful for you coming back. And
thank you for having me
on the Voices of Legacy. Look forward to great things, greater dreams, and greater things. And where's your church at?
My church is in Wayne, Michigan. Okay. Greater Dreams Church, Wayne, 35118 West Michigan Avenue, Wayne, Michigan. Kind of close to the airport. support, but you can look me up on all the social media outlets, Facebook, YouTube, Dr. Larry Mack, Great Dreams Church, Facebook, Great Dreams Church. So
thank you again for coming, Bishop Dr. Larry Mack, and we look forward, Junior, look forward to having you back on at another time. I'm sure there's another book in the works someplace or another.
I got a couple, you know, it's really good. These are for young people like 14 and 19, and 14,
you're,
21.
And you're working on a second doctorate, is that right?
A PhD in life coaching. Okay. I'm just finishing my dissertation and I'm just waiting to see what classes if I did everything, did I hand in everything, and I'm just waiting back, you know, so within the next 6 months, so I should be completed. But it's been a long time. You know how long that takes. Doc, you know how long it takes, right? It takes a while, but just being patient and taking your time with it, you know, being disciplined, writing, you know, like 2 hours a day, something like that.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you again. And thank you so much for listening to the Voices of Legacy again, where you're living your legacy every day that you're breathing. Be blessed, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.